We're so glad that you're here this morning to come and worship with us as we celebrate Jesus. Always celebrate Jesus. He's King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and we're so glad you're here. I know we've got a few folks that are off traveling for vacation, but it's a good crowd, and we appreciate you being here. And those that might be in the parking lot, those that will listen later on the website, we're glad to have all of you join us as we celebrate and love and worship and praise Jesus. Before I pray, I've got a little gift to make. Charlie, can you come down? You remember a few weeks ago, we gave something to all of our graduates, and Charlie wasn't here. And so we've got Charlie's bag. Thank you, sir. All right. Let's pray. Lord, it's good to be in your house and just worship and praise and enjoy you. Thank you that you're here with us. Oh, we're so glad you're here with us. Now we pray that as we spend this time together, as we sing, as we pray, as we study your word, the Holy Spirit will speak to our hearts. Lord, may we have ears to hear, hearts to understand, wills to obey. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning, everybody. Good to see you this morning. It's always good to be back in church. We're going to, as we always do, we'll have a hymn sing first this morning. I told Jeff I was never going to pick on him again about calling him Sister Keplinger. I won't do that. But he's going to play for us again today as we sing a grand old hymn, Oh, for a Thousand Tongues to Praise. That's what we're here to do, to praise the Lord. So let's all stand and sing Oh, for a Thousand Tongues to Sing. Short verses, we'll do all four. Say good morning to your neighbor, if you will. I have some announcements for you this morning. First thing I want to tell you is tonight's choir practice. And I hadn't said that over a year and a half. So tonight's choir practice. Come. And I know we've got some new members. I heard people say today that we're going to come. I look forward to seeing you come tonight. Be here at 6, and we'll work on some stuff. And next Sunday, we're going to have a choir. How's that? We're going to have a choir. Amen. I've been looking forward to that day. I really have been. And so not that I have any problem at all with what we've been doing. And I'm going to stand here again and thank them. And that's Tonda and Kathy. They have helped me immensely through all this pandemic and they've been here to supply praise music. So if you want to give another hand, you can give another hand. Kathy, I hope you're hearing this. But we will have choir tonight, choir practice tonight. Bible study Wednesday night. Bible study Wednesday night will be at 6:30. And let's remember now, next Sunday, we'll continue in the normal schedule that we have now. 9 o'clock for Sunday school, 10 o'clock for worship, and then 10:15 for children's church. And while I'm doing that, I want to do another thank you to the building and grounds. And thank you for the signs. Did y'all notice the signs when you drove in this morning? Telling everybody what the new time is going to be for us. And we'll continue with this time until such time as you say, I've had enough. So, but as long as you shall support what we're doing, this is the way to do it. Yeah, I already got one enough. I heard that. Another enough. Okay, we'll look into that. There's one thing that we believe in doing, and that is listening to what you all say too. Because this is your church. Well, it's actually God's church, but you are part of the church. So we'll listen to what you have to say. All right. Let's see. I believe now Vacation Bible School. Aaron, you want to speak to that, where we are on Vacation Bible School? Yes. Okay. And August the 7th would be one Saturday, right? That'll be one Saturday. Most of the day. Can we just say that most of the day or whatever it turns out to be? Early afternoon. Okay, so it'll be one day on a Saturday will be for the Bible school. I also want to remind you, next Sunday is quarterly conference time, and we will have our quarterly conference. It'll also be good to have a business meeting and be able to do our quarterly conference as usual as well. So any other announcements I may have overlooked at all?
Leonard, as I came in, there was a flower on this side of next to the church.
Yes.
That belongs on the grave. If anybody knows where that flower goes.
Okay. Okay, I'll speak to Donna about it, because if anybody knows, she would. She spends a lot of time out there. I will. Okay. Yes, Kenny.
There's a list of the officers and teachers that can be nominated next Sunday.
Yes.
A little copy of it. Just lay it on the table out there. If there's any error, please contact me.
Okay. The nominating committee would like for you to come by and pick up a list of the officers and teachers that will be voted on next week. And if you have any questions, by all means, call Kenny. Okay? All right. Thank you, Kenny, for your hard work and the committee. Appreciate that very much. Any other announcements? All right. We'll go into our prayer request. Let's remember McCord Barbie. McCord and I, we talked. McCord had a doctor's appointment this week and has got two surgeries now, McCord, in your future. And I believe, one's 4 weeks and we'll then another one to follow that. McCord, you want to share with us some, I know you're encouraged by the doctor's remarks, but let's
start the 28th of this month.
Yeah.
See how that goes.
Yeah.
Anyway, we've done something.
Well, you all know that McCord has had a battle for a long, long time with that, but God has been able to restore his sight, and I believe he's able again, don't you? And so I believe we're going to pray for you, McCord. Keep you lifted up. I promise you that. Let's remember Ruth Troutman. Ruth Troutman. Now she's Charles's sister, and she was injured at the 4th of July parade. I know you heard about that, and the one of the floats ran over her foot, and of course she was trying to walk up to the float and tried to take someone off the float too. And it was just a mistake, and but she fell, and she is now in Trinity going through some rehab work. And Charlie and Jewel, I believe she's going to be okay, right? So that's the good news. That's the good news. So let's keep Ruth in our prayers. Any other this morning that we need to lift up?
I talked to Nell this week. She called me. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And,
amen. We'll do that. Yeah, yes.
First Jackson has been tested positive for COVID.
Jackson has? Okay. All right, so that's Jackson for COVID, and remember Casey, and then Jack Brown, right? Okay. All right. Someone else raise. Yes, Ted.
I've been asked to put Keith Whitley on our prayer list. He's anticipating open heart surgery and bypass. This is Keith Whitley for Tommy and Avenel's son, my age.
Okay. Oh, my goodness. Okay. Anyone else? Okay. Anyone else? Yes, Kenny. Amen. God is good all the time. Anyone else? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for this Lord's Day you've given us to be in your house. We thank you for this, your church, these children of yours assembled together today. We ask a special blessing upon us now, Lord, as we are preparing, continue to prepare for worship. And Lord, we ask, Lord, for praying for Pastor Ed as he stands before us today and delivers your message. We thank you, Lord, for the progress that you have allowed us to make coming out of COVID. We thank you all of that for all the blessings you've given us. Thank you for this crowd that we see today. And now, Lord, we ask your continued blessing upon us as we try our very, very best to lift you up above all others and to thank you for your blessings. But then, Lord, there are those among us that need help and need a touch from you. And, Lord, we pray for healing by your hand and your hand alone. We want to lift up to you McCord Barbie, Lord, today as he has surgery in his future with his eyes. With his eye, Lord, we pray for him. We pray for Ruth Troutman. We lift her up to you, Lord, as she is in rehab at Trinity. We pray for her. We lift up Miss Nail to you, Lord, I know Miss Nail is homebound, and we pray for her. We pray for Jackson and with COVID, for Casey. And Lord, we lift up Jack Brown to you as well. Lord, we've been asked to pray for Keith Whitley, Lord, as he is preparing for open heart surgery. We know, Lord, that you are the master. You're powerful, and you're all powerful. We pray for Landon, Lord, and lift him up as he continues to recuperate. Give him strength and courage, we pray. We're so happy, Lord, and praise you for Kenny's praise report of his mom. And Lord, we know, Lord, that you are all-powerful, and Lord, that you will answer prayer. So now, Lord, as we go forward, we want to remember our nation as a whole. I pray, Lord, and pray, Lord, for our nation as we go forward now, and we'll be doing many new things. But Lord, we pray for your guidance. We pray for your love. And Lord, we pray, Lord, for most of all, we pray, Lord, that you will lead us in the right path. Now go with us now, Lord, for throughout the rest of this service and all that's done, Lord, we'll be very, very careful to lift you up above all others and say that you did it all. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. We're going to do a song of praise this morning, and as I looked at that, as I looked at the song of praise, I thought, well, you know, this song probably would be better if we sang it a cappella. And so, I've got it up on the board. I got it up on the board here, and I know I just went away, didn't I? And I should know better. But anyway, His name is wonderful. Don't you agree? Amen. Yeah. And so, let's all stand and sing a cappella. His name is wonderful. Just a beautiful little course, two courses. Here we go. Hope I get the right key. His name is wonderful. His His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord. He is the mighty King, Master of everything. His name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord. He's the great Shepherd, the Rock of all ages. Almighty God is He. Bow down before Him. Love and adore Him. His name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord. And everybody said amen. You may be seated. Children, you're all dismissed to go to children's church.
Thank the Lord for little children.
Amen.
You know, Jesus said, let the little children come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. Thank the Lord for little children. You know, from time to time, the Lord leads me to preach on a verse or a passage of scripture that sort of reminds you of who you are in Christ. And I hope that when I do that, that you're encouraged and your faith is built. And I hope that's going to happen this morning. Now, those of you that were here in Sunday school, I'm not going to say it the way Kenny did, but I may say some of the things that say amen to what Kenny said.
Amen.
But that's the good thing about the Bible. You can use, you can look at one verse and one chapter and one book and say, well, that's great. And you flip over three books and you find another verse that says almost the same thing. So let's go. Let me ask you a question as we begin. Are you a grasshopper? How many of you have lived most of your life with a grasshopper mentality? Now, remember, God miraculously brought all of the plagues on Egypt, divided the Red Sea, had that encounter with Israel on the Mount Sinai, thundering and lightning and all of that kind of stuff and the commandments. And in a few months, they were at the border of the Promised Land. And Moses picks out the spies and they go in. They come back and they say, man, it is better than the Lord told us. It is awesome. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. Oh, but by the way, they got some giants over there and we look like grasshoppers. We look like grasshoppers compared to those big old guys. And they have been trained for war forever, and we just been brickmakers. And we don't have a chance. They're going to kill us. stomp on us just like we were little grasshoppers. And so, because of fear and a lack of faith in a powerful God that had done all of those marvelous, miraculous things for them over the previous maybe 2 years, they turned around and said, "We're not going in." And they spent almost 40 miserable years wandering around in the wilderness. Snakes and scorpions and dry and desert. And secondly, they missed out on all of the blessings they would have had in the promised land. That grasshopper mentality messed them up. Well, now the sad thing is that God would have taken them in right then if the people had obeyed and listened to Caleb and Joshua. But no, grasshopper mentality. Now, nothing's changed. The devil still uses that same lie on you and me today. That same grasshopper mentality lie on us today. If the devil can keep us fearful and destroy our faith, keep us disbelieving the power and blessing and goodness of God, then he can keep us weak and powerless as Christians. Now, what happens when that happens? It destroys our relationship with the Lord. You know, Hebrews says, without faith, it is impossible to please the Lord. So if we're living without faith, God isn't happy with us. Isn't that what the Bible says? Faith pleases the Lord. A lack of faith makes the Lord sad. When we live with that grasshopper mentality, we don't have much effect on the world. They think we're a bunch of weaklings. They think we're wishy-washy. When we have that grasshopper mentality, we don't have much power. And when we have that grasshopper mentality, we miss out on the blessing of God. We miss out on all the blessings that God wants to give us. Now, I want us to look at a verse to start with that the devil hates. It's a verse that the devil hopes you never read. And he hopes that even if you happen to stumble across it, you won't believe it. Turn with me to the book of Romans, chapter 5. And I'm going to read verse 17. Romans chapter 5, verse 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Now I'm going to read that same verse in the Passion Translation. Death once held us in its grip, and by the blunder of one man, death reigned as king over humanity. But now, how much more are we held in the grip of grace and continue reigning as kings in life enjoying our regal freedom through the gift of perfect righteousness in the one and only Jesus, the Messiah.
Amen.
Now, what is he telling you? First thing he's saying is that one man's sin, Adam, brought all kinds of messes in this world, and we all become sinners. Sin becomes a part of our nature. Death becomes a reality. We are in the kingdom of the devil. He's the Lord of this world, according to the scripture. One man, Adam, messed up and brought all kinds of problems. But just the opposite, look at what Jesus brought. The abundance of grace. An abundance of grace. That means that there's plenty of it. There's more than enough. There are people that feel like I have sinned too much. No, no matter how much you've sinned, there's more grace. There's more grace than your sin amount. There is plenty of grace for everybody. And you know, Jesus died for the whole world. Jesus died for the whole world. The sin debt of the whole world is paid. They've just got to receive it. I was thinking about that this morning. You know, it'd be sad if we had one of those homecoming dinners and the tables downstairs were just laden with food and somebody's sitting out here in their car hungry because they refused to come in and eat. That's going to be the saddest part of hell. It's when people realize my sins were paid for, my sins were covered. I just didn't receive Jesus as my Lord and my Savior. I could have. I didn't have to earn it. I could have been saved if I just chosen Jesus. How sad. He says there, Jesus, one man brought sin, but Jesus brought an abundance of grace. And he says he brought the gift of righteousness. Righteousness is a right standing with God. God looks at us and he sees the righteousness of Jesus in us. God's not angry with you. God sees you through the eyes of Jesus. God sees you as righteous. And did you notice that little word that went with it? It's a gift. You didn't earn righteousness. God gave it to you when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Oh, you know, sometimes we think, if I just do a little more, I'll be good. If I can just do a little bit more, I'll be righteous. If I can just do, and I can earn. No, righteousness is God's gift to you through the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, in Ephesians, he talks about the fact that we are saved not of works, lest any man should boast. But then he says, we're saved unto good works. It's not good works saving us, but once we're saved, we want to please the Lord. We want to do things that honor him. And he says, one man brought sin, but Jesus brought the gift of righteousness. And then, this is what the devil hates. We shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. What does it mean to reign? Not R-A-I-N, R-E-I-G-N. To rule. To have authority. To have dominion. to have power. You go back to those old time kings. Now, I know right now most kings and queens in a lot of countries don't have a lot of power. There's a parliament that runs things. But those old time kings, they sat there on their throne and they said this, 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 and whatever they said, it was carried out. Their word was law. You remember whenever Esther had to go before her husband, she tells her uncle Mordecai, if he doesn't stick out his royal scepter, I'm a goner. That king had power. And Paul has just told us, the Holy Spirit, speaking for the Lord, has spoken through Paul. He says, we shall reign in life. We have power and authority. We have a rulership. Now, notice some things here. One, it doesn't say the apostles shall reign in life by one. The original 12 disciples shall reign as one. The preacher shall reign as one. The deacon shall reign as one. No, we're all included. You are just as much assured and guaranteed and promised a rulership, a reigning, as I am, as Peter was, as Paul was, as anybody else. We all have that authority. We all have that authority. It's for everybody. It's not just limited to a few special people. Of course, it's easy to say, well, yeah, preacher, I understand that in the millennium, we're going to reign with Jesus. And we will. But what did the Bible say right here? We shall reign when? In life. While you and I are now living. He doesn't put that off in some, he doesn't say we shall reign in the millennium. We shall reign in heaven. God's going to give you your own planet to rule over. No, he says we shall reign in life. We shall have authority. We shall have power in this life at this present moment. And the devil hates it. If you ever catch that truth. Now, there's a great understanding here. It's not we reign because I'm so great. We reign in Jesus. Did you catch that? We shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. That's where that humility comes in. Not who I am, but who Jesus is in me. What I can do in the power of Jesus. What I can do under the anointing of Jesus. Our reigning and our ruling is because of who Jesus is in us. Yeah. Ruling and reigning. And the devil hates it if you ever get this truth. He can't push you around anymore. I know I've mentioned this before, but you know, growing up, the boogeyman's going to get you. I hope you didn't tell your kids that. I heard that enough. I heard that enough personally for all of us. And I thought I was a good kid. Oh, I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't let the devil hear me say that. Are you kidding me? The devil is a bully. The devil will push you around like a bully on a schoolyard. He will harass you. He will mistreat you. He will do everything you permit him to do. Are you sure, preacher? Let's look at some scriptures. 1 John 4:4. 1 John 4:4. You may want to write some of these down and go back and look at them this afternoon and make sure I was telling you the truth. 1 John 4:4 says, "You are of God, little children. You have overcome them." Why? "Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." Greater is the greater one lives in you. Now, little children means, and he says, you're of God, little children. We're children of God. And because we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, the Spirit that put into effect on the day of creation when God said, let there be, and millions of stars and universes and constellations and everything came into existence, that Holy Spirit lives in you. Now, wait a minute, preacher. And I don't understand it, how that powerful God can live in me and every one of us that know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. But somehow or another, God being God can do that. He says, we overcome. How? Because we have the greater one living in us. And so when that devil comes around and he says, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, you say, no, wait a minute, wait a minute. In the name of Jesus, you're not going to do that. I just hold up the blood of Jesus against you. I just hold up the blood of Jesus against you. Let's go to another one. Luke 10. Verse 19. This is in red in my Bible. Jesus talking said, well, let's go back to verse 18. Because that puts it even a greater context. I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents, scorpions, over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Does it say a little of the power of the enemy? Some of the power of the enemy? A good deal of the power of the enemy? He says, I give you power over all the power of the enemy. All the power of the enemy. Now he's talking to you and me. Paul says we reign in life. Jesus said, I give you power over all the power of the enemy. I won't even look it up, but make you look it up, but in James 4:7 is a verse that's very similar to the one that Kenny covered in Sunday school. James 4:7 says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. You stand up and, you know, the devil, you keep backing up, he'll push you as far as he can push you. But when you resist him in the name of Jesus, he's going to flee. Think about the temptations of Jesus. Each time the devil tempted him, he quoted scripture. And finally it says the devil just left him. The devil had had enough. And when you know your Bible and you quote your Bible and you stand on the authority of the Bible and you as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you reign in life as a believer and then resist the devil and he flees. Now, if the devil can keep us believing that he's more powerful than we are, he's stronger than we are, he's going to get us if we say the wrong thing or do the wrong thing. And if we live in fear and doubt and unbelief, he's got us right where he wants us. And we develop that grasshopper mentality. But once we develop that Christ in me, the hope of glory mentality, the devil's got a powerful force to work against, and he's not happy. Let's look at another scripture. Matthew 18:18. And you got to read this carefully, don't you? You'll read it backwards. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And again I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. If we're not careful, we'll read that to say, well, we just look up to heaven and see what God binds and we'll do the same thing. But that's not what it says. It says we do the binding and God backs us up. We do the loosing and God backs us up. We have authority in the name of Jesus, under the promises of Jesus, and because of that, God backs us up. I love that old Andy Griffin show where those two guys are selling stuff out by the road and Barney y'all guys got to quit this. And they just ignore him until Andy walks around the corner. Yes, sir. And they load the stuff up and get out of there because Andy backed him up. Barney didn't feel real confident. He didn't look real confident. He didn't act real confident. But Andy backed him up. And God says right here, I'll back you up. I'll back you up. Go with me to another one. First chapter of Ephesians. We do a Bible study here. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19. And this whole chapter, well, Ephesians just full of good truth. Verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, set him in his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come. Talks about the exalted glory and power of Jesus. And then look what it says. And hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. You're the body of Christ. We're the body of Christ. He's the head. And it says everything's under his feet. Which means everything's under our feet. We rule and reign with Christ in this life. Now folks, I'm just keep showing you these scriptures because I want you to get it, and the devil hates it when you get it. If he can keep us with a grasshopper mentality, he can keep us weak. He can keep us out of the promised land. It can keep us missing out on the blessing of God. But if we ever learn who we are in Jesus, then we begin to do the powerful works of God. You remember when, on that occasion, when Jesus asked the disciples, "Who do men say that I am? Who do you say that I am?" And then he says, "On this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Jesus said the church must be kicking down the gates of hell and rescuing sinners. I don't know, for years and years I just had this picture of the gates of hell beating on the church and not winning. No, it's the gates of hell, the church kicking them down, tearing them open, and rescuing sinners. And says they would not be able to stand. It's the greatest miracle of all when the Lord reaches down and touches a lost person and brings that person to salvation. Oh, the devil hates it. The devil hates it. One of his. And suddenly that one is no longer one of his. That is now one of the family of God. How awesome is that? He says all things are under his feet. We'll look at one more scripture. Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. Beginning at verse 22. "And Jesus answering saith unto them, Have faith in God." And some translations say, "Have the God kind of faith. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and thou shalt not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, you shall have them." Powerful prayer life. A powerful prayer life for those who reign in Christ. You know, personally, I'd rather rule and reign as a king under the power and anointing of the Holy Spirit than to be a grasshopper. Devil wants me to be a grasshopper. And I have to admit, I lived a long time as a grasshopper. Afraid the devil's going to get me at every chance. But then the truth came out. I can rule and reign as a king. Not because Ed Louder's so smart or so holy or something, but because Jesus lives in Ed Louder. And that same Jesus lives in you. If the devil can keep you with a grasshopper mentality, he's going to ruin your effectiveness. He's going to ruin your joy. But if you will learn not what I believe, but what the Bible teaches, you can walk in power, in authority, and in victory. Oh, now the devil doesn't give up without a fight. It's like the schoolyard bully. He's got to know you mean business. You don't have to yell and scream and holler at him, but just affirm, "Yes, no, I'm not going there." And sometimes you just laugh at him. Now, if that's a new concept to you, think about it. There are times when maybe I'll wake up in the middle of the night and I'm, you know, headache starts to come a little bit, and I'll just say, "Devil, take that headache back to hell. Jesus paid for it 2,000 years ago." And then I'll just go to laughing. The devil can't stand being laughed at. And usually in 2 minutes, that headache's gone. Not because I'm such a great Christian, but because I've learned a little bit about ruling and reigning with Christ. I much prefer to be a king than to be a grasshopper. And I hope that's your choice as well. As we have the invitation, if there's somebody that needs to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, if there's somebody that needs to make a decision of any kind, we invite you to come. Lord bless you, the Lord keep you, the Lord make his face to shine upon you, be gracious to you, and give you peace, in the name of Jesus, amen. And remember the nominating committee reports up here if you'd like to have a copy.